Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
In the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16, if you're there, say amen. If you don't plan on finding it, say go ahead. Three heathens in the crowd. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man was also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes, the rich man, and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment or anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." Now, in verse 26, where it says that there is a great chasm, many translations of the Bible says that there is a great gap. There is a great gap between you and us. And so tonight, or today, I want to preach to you on the subject, mind the gap. Mind the gap. Mind the gap is a phrase that is said at the London Underground, warning people who use the subway to be very wary of the gap between the train and the platform. There, here in America, we would say, "Watch your step," or "Watch the gap." Be careful of the gap. But in London, England, they say, "Mind the gap." Thank you, musicians. And here we have a gap that where the rich man and Lazarus was separated after in the afterlife. And if you and I are going to mind the gap, how many knows we got to do it on this side of death? Because, you know, I read an interesting read last night. I don't know, man, my wife and I, y'all need to pray for us. We are just party animals. Because I was in bed at 9:30 last night, and that's ridiculous. I mean, how old am I? But I just wanted to make sure that I'm, you know, getting my rest and so forth and so on. But anyway, mind the gap. There was a gap between them, and if you're going to close the distance of the gap, then you've got to mind the gap. You've got to know where it is and what it is. And here we have two men, the rich man and Lazarus, both die. One is in the bosom of Abraham, and the other is in Hades. And the rich man looks on Lazarus and perceives him. I think that's kind of interesting. He perceives him. And ask Abraham to send Lazarus to him that he may dip his finger in water and cool his tongue, for he is in torment, or he is in anguish in the fire. But even in death, this rich man thought Lazarus, who was poor, should also serve him as a servant. Well, that's some audacity. Send him over here that he may serve me. We've got to make sure Because this rich man was in for a rude awakening. And we've got to make sure that we don't look down our nose at people just because they don't have what you have. And just because they might have more than you have doesn't mean that they're better than you. I'm so glad that God came to save that which was lost. Not that which who was rich or that who was poor, that who was median, that who was Democrat or Republican. He said, I came to save that which was lost, and that was you and me. If you're not sure where you fit into that category, let me just go ahead and help you. I don't care that if you were born into the Pope's home, you were a sinner, but thank God because of the blood of Jesus, now we can save. We are saved by the blood of Jesus, and we are saved by grace. Now, a gap is the difference, listen to me closely, is the distance between where you are and where you need or want to be. It is the place where you are or the place where you need or want to be. There is always a gap. I don't care who you are. There is always a gap in your life. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that I am, you know, I know my weight, and there is a gap from where I am to where I want to be. There is a gap in my relationship with my wife, and everything's good. Don't nobody get nervous. But there is a gap between where we are and where we long to be. There is a gap. What is the gap that's in your life? Our job on this earth, especially before we die, because we cannot change things once we die. And that is, listen, there's a gap between me and God, and I'm trying to close the gap every day. It's not, you know, it's like the old man who was married to the old woman, and they passed this newlywed couple, and this newlywed couple looked like one. They were sitting so close together. And the man looks at his wife and goes, or the woman looks at her husband and says, why don't we sit like they used, or why don't we sit like them anymore? And the man in the driver's seat says, I didn't move. So if there's a gap between you and God, God hadn't moved. He still wants to be close to you. He still wants to be close to me. It is we who have moved, but there's the gap. That's why in London, they have a sign that says, mind the gap. Because if you don't mind the gap, you may fall in the gap. And you will feel the gap. And it won't be good for you. So what is keeping you from being what you want to be or what you desire? What is it that's keeping you from there? Well, Pastor, I don't know. Well, maybe pray during this sermon or in the next few days that God will show you what is keeping you from where you want to be or what you want to have. And it's all it is just a gap. That's what it is. The thing that is keeping you from where you want to be or what you want to have is just called a gap. And I want to have a better relationship with Christ. I want to have a better relationship with my fellow man. I want to be spiritually spiritually in tune with what God wants me to do and have. The thing that is keeping you. When you mind the gap, you put your mind in figuring out a way to close the gap or to deal with the gap. Where do you want to be? Oh, Pastor, I want... I'm going to get ahead of myself. Let me move on. You need to figure out, before you die, how to close the gap. Because there's a great chasm. There's a great gap between them and you after death. So what can I do, Pastor? What can I do to start minding the gap that I'm in? And that gap is anything in your life. That gap is anything in your life. Now, the most important gap is between you and Jesus. And I'm going to jump ahead to my last point for just a moment, because I want you to understand that if there's a gap between you and Jesus, how you bridge the gap is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that's the way to bridge the gap is Jesus. But let me go back. Because the first thing you need to do when you are minding the gap is that you need to, point number one, is you need to take inventory. Take inventory. What do you have? What do you have? Well, Pastor, I don't have a whole lot. I know people who think they don't have anything. But you would be surprised what you have when you begin to take inventory. When you take inventory, you know, every week, every month, when I worked for Wendy's, I had to do inventory. And many of you know what I'm talking about. You walk in and you figure out what you have. See, some of you need to do inventory before you go grocery shopping. Figure out what you have. Because don't waste or discount what you have. Well, Pastor, I'm nothing. The devil is a liar. You're something. Pastor, I don't have anything. The devil's got you blind. You've got something. Because to be upset over what you don't have is to waste what you do have. So somebody needs to hear me now. Quit telling everybody what you don't have. Well, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't. If you want something, take stock of what you have. And here's another clue, which is not in the notes, but here's another clue. Then be thankful for what you have. Have a spirit of gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. Thank the Lord that you have what you have. Now, but then here's another thing. Then ask what's missing. Ask what's missing. Can I tell you, some of you have asked what's missing and you tried to fill it in with the wrong thing. What's missing in your life? Well, a spouse is missing in my life. And then you get married and your life becomes crazy. Come on. You thought that's what was missing. I know what I need, Pastor. I need a boat. I need a motorcycle. I need a new car. I need a new job. Well, no. Look at what's missing. What is keeping you from having the life that you have? You know, the problem is that I've been raised in church most of my life, even though I didn't confess salvation until later. But I've been raised, and I used to hear people talk about, well, if I had what they had, I would be able to worship God. No, you can worship God when you just figure out if all you got is Jesus, then that's all you need. If all you've got is a relationship with Jesus, He is everything that you need to bring you to a place where you can say, like many other saints of old have said, that it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm not happy because I have everything I desire or I'm where I want to be. I'm happy because Jesus has me. I'm happy because I know whose I am and I know who I belong to. Before you go grocery shopping, you need to see what you're missing, what I'm running low of, what I'm about to run out of. Here comes another one. It's not in the notes. Who or what is hindering you? You need to ask the question, who? Well, that's my spouse. No, you're wrong again. Who is hindering you? Who are you hanging out with who is bringing you down? Who are you hanging out with that is holding you back? What is standing in your way? Here comes another one. Who or what do you know that can help you close the gap? See, if you're struggling in your weight loss, sometimes you need a trainer who will hold you to the fire. That's right. And I know a couple of trainers. I didn't give them my phone number. Don't call me, I'll call you. Right? If you're struggling financially, maybe you need somebody who knows a little bit more about finances than you do to close the gap. Maybe you need a class. Maybe whatever the case is, who or what do you need that can help you? Remember, the gap is the distance between where you are and where you would like to be. Sometimes we talk to people who have no authority to help you and make decisions. You ever talk to somebody and you're like, I'm talking to the wrong person. Where's the supervisor? And you get the supervisor. You see, most of the time, the person we're talking to can't solve the problem. Even in marital issues, when I talk to married couples and they're having issues and one will come in and they will tell me the problem with the other one. Because we all know it's the other person's problem. It's the other person's fault. And so, but if the other person's not there, and I always tell them, well, I can't fix them. They're not here. I can't fix you. But let's talk about you, because if you are part of the equation, right? So who are you talking to? Let me tell you this. God is the only one who can solve your problem. So we're talking to everybody else who neither has the power or the authority to shift the position or shift the situation. But if you'll begin to talk to God about it, He knows how to shift the situation. He has the power, He has the authority to shift some things in your life if you will talk to Him and then adhere to Him. If people are powerless to change something, all they can give you is sympathy. And sometimes that's all we want people to do is, don't point at nobody, but how many of those people that without their issue, they don't have a personality? Sympathy is not going to help you solve your problem if they have no authority. I need somebody who can pull rank, and that's God. You see, I've had favor just because somebody in authority saw me and extended grace and favor to me. Point number two is this. Happiness is often determined by the size of the gap you expect to find in life and what you actually find in life. Because, you know, if you don't expect a lot out of people, it don't disappoint you when they give you what you expect. See, when you get married, most women expect their husbands to continue to talk to them and treat them the way they did when they were dating. But come on, women, you know that changes. I consider myself a good husband, but I've changed over 34 years. Now, listen, I still open the door for her. I still treat her like a lady, but there are some things that I just don't do like I once did. But now, this is a two-way street. I'm not going to say that there's some things she used to do that she don't do anymore. Why? Because I got to go home. And she'll be in the 11 o'clock service. So, yeah, she ain't here right now, but y'all a bunch of tattletales, y'all tell her. But just look at your own life. Look at your own life. So, you know, you think your husband's still going to talk to you all sweet the way he did when he was dating you with that Barry White. So, how you doing, baby? It don't work that way, sugar. Could you come in here? You know, because a man is always in the courtship process. A man is always trying to get a woman to sink into his arms. And in the married process, he tries to keep her arms in a sink. But if you expect your Prince Charming to always be Prince Charming, but then you get married and you realize you married Dr. Jekyll, right? There's a gap. There's a gap. But if you realize that before you get married, that he's doing this, that it ain't always going to be like this. Now, you want to try to keep it that way, but it takes two. But realize it ain't always going to be just like that. Your level of happiness is determined by the gap between what you expect to find and what you actually find. So the closer your expectations are to reality, the lower level of your disappointment. Pastor, you're trying to tell us to take our... No, I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm just trying to tell you, you need to live in reality. You know, there was I made an investment about 3 years ago, and it was a $2,600 investment. Well, I had somebody call and wanted to buy that investment, and so they said, we would like to make you an offer on this if you would send us this, that, and the other. So I sent them in some things that were not personable so that they could steal my identity, because I'm very skeptical. So they wrote me back, and they said, yes, this is what we're wanting to buy, and we would like to make an offer to you. I said, okay, we would love to entertain an offer. So remember, I bought it for $2,600, and they made me an offer of $26,700. So you know what I said? Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, Jesus. And I like, Lord have mercy. That's a good investment. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I am such a good investor. Thank you, Lord. So I got to talking to him a little bit. And sure enough, boy, everything turned out. Everything was right. But then there was just something. Because they play on your greed. So to make a long story short, I did a lot more research, and it was hard to find out, but I found out their office was in a Starbucks. Well, Pastor, why are you telling us this story? Because I was disappointed. But I also am real enough to understand that that was just a pipe dream. I understood. Yeah, I would have. Matter of fact, if y'all want to give me $26,000 on that $2,600, I will sell it to you. But I need to see the cash. But you know what I'm understanding? What I'm telling you is, if you're not careful, you will let your excitement over something overrule what reality is. And so I finally called the company that I bought the $2,600 thing from, and they said, "Mr. Reed, you realize you only paid $2,600. I said, "Don't insult me. I know what I paid for." He said, "Well, why in the world would somebody want to buy it for $26,000? I go, "I don't know. There are stupid people out there." I said, "But that's why I'm calling a check." So you got to have some reality. If your person that you're talking to on the computer never gives you a picture and you've been dating 5 years. Let me just move on from that. But when you expect greatness in people and they don't rise to occasion, that's what disappoints us. It's that gap. It's that gap. How do you mind the gap to make that person or yourself better? That is the conundrum, trying to manage that great gap. God sees your potential, but you have to see it and what you're going to do to close the gap. Have you ever seen people's potential? God just shows you stuff in them. And it's like, man, if they would just ever get it together, if they would finally just step out, if they would just finally make the leap, God would use them greatly. And that might be you. But what is God? You know, God gives you these great dreams, but you never do anything with it. It happened in Scripture. And Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, but the father pulled a fast one in the middle of the night, and he woke up with Leah. And the Bible said that Leah's eyes were weak. I don't even know what that means, but I know she wasn't pretty. He had to work another 7 years to get Rachel. And some of you are believing God for your Rachel, and you keep winding up with Leah. You keep praying for Rachel, but Leah keeps showing up. Pastor, what do I do? Well, listen, here's what I can tell you about that situation. He was praying for Rachel. Leah, he finally got Rachel, but most of his children came from Leah. Let me just leave that with you. So you got to mind the gap. See, there's always, point number three, there is always a gap between the ideal and the real. If you see a picture, anybody ever went to a picture? And I do it all the time. Boy, you'll see a picture at a restaurant, you're like, "Ooh, I want that." And it comes out, it's like, that looks nothing like the picture. When I was at Wendy's, you know, when Dave Thomas, man, they'd show the meat hanging off the bun. And there was this one guy, bless his heart. There was this one guy, he would come in, and if it didn't look like the picture, he would just slide it back across, say, "That ain't what I ordered." Well, one day he threw it back across. Let me just help you. You don't need to do that to somebody who hadn't been saved long. I didn't have enough sanctification. Because he threw that burger at me, and I come across the... Ooh, Jesus. Thank God for some good staff. No, Ronnie. I was like, "Boy." But that's what happens. You see this picture, and it looks nothing like it. You see the meat hanging off of it, and then you get it, and you're like, "Where's the beef?" Right? That's what we do in life sometimes. You got the... I learned a new word. I'm going to give y'all my new word. Are you ready? All right, so you you got the ideal, you got the real, and then when you're trying to just oppose them, do I seem smart? How many knows what that means? You were better than me. Yes. When you're trying to just oppose the two, you deal with what's called the ordeal. Now, for those of you who are less smart than I am, let me tell you, just oppose is just means placing things side by side in comparison. I don't know. I don't understand why we just don't go when you compare the two, but just oppose makes you sound smart. Here's the deal. John Maxwell says that the biggest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing. Man, isn't that the truth? All right, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand on this one. Everybody in here knows that you should stay away from white sugar. That sounded racist, didn't it? Everybody in here knows you should stay. Y'all know me. Everybody in here knows you shouldn't, you shouldn't eat so much red meat. That's racist too, I guess. Everybody in here knows you shouldn't spend more than what you earn. Everybody in here knows that if you want to have a relationship with God, you got to spend time with God. But can you imagine if we did everything that we know we should do? We would be one bad mamma jamma. If we did it from an exercise standpoint, I know I should exercise. But I read a scripture in Proverbs the other day that said, only the wicked run when nobody's chasing them. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 28, I believe. If we did this from a financial standpoint, if we did this from a spiritual standpoint, nothing could stop us. But don't, see, we don't have a knowledge problem. We have an execution problem. We know what to do. If you've been saved any length of time, you know some of the sin you shouldn't do. And what do? Wind up doing it. There's the gap. A mediocre strategy, well executed, is better than a great strategy poorly executed. I'm telling you, when I was running a few years ago, I call it jogging, but I had somebody who was, I'm not exaggerating, was almost 500 pounds telling me how to run. Well, Pastor, I'll tell you right now, if you ever get that runner's high, the only way I'm going to get that is get too much oxygen. And they were trying to tell me how to run, and they could barely walk. But that's where all of us are we? I can tell you how to lose weight. You need a coach? Call me. I can do it. I'm not saying but the problem is I know. You know, you got to understand that there's a huge difference. We need to mind the gap and close the gap between what we know and what we actually do. Here's what James says in 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin. Now, let's skip over that. Nobody wants to hear that. Let me give you point number 4 and I'm done. A bridge solves the problem of a gap because bridges connect. Bridges solves the problem of a gap because bridges connect. See, when when Adam and Eve sinned, there was a gap between us and God. The cross bridged the gap. The bridge, all right, these are going to be some good stuff. Are you ready? Check out this next one. The bridge between knowledge and skill. Or the bridge between, where are we at? Give me my first one. The bridge between a dream and reality is called action. How many of us dream, but we never do? We sit around thinking up stuff. Well, one of these days, boy, I tell you what would be great. But you don't ever do anything. The bridge to make that a reality is called action. You can get there because the bridge is called action. You can get to where God wants you to be if you will act on what you already know. Here comes another one. The bridge between knowledge and skill is called practice. You know, I play piano. I'm certainly not like Steve. I know some of the scales. But just because you know the note doesn't mean you can play well. Because that's called practice. The more that I practice eating right, the healthier I become. I'm closing the gap. The more practice that I put into place of a praying. Wait a minute, Pastor. You practice praying? Yes. I do it every day. The more I practice reading my Bible, the lower the gap gets between me and God. The more I practice self-control in buying things, the more I practice self-control, the gap closes for me being healthy financially. Whatever it is, all right? There are two different things, knowledge and skill. You have knowledge, but you can't develop the skill without practicing the knowledge. You know, one of the reasons why Steve plays so well, and Steve barely can go by a keyboard without fiddling with it or sitting down to it and playing something. That's the way it used to be. Is he still that way, Heather? All right. He can't. What are you looking at her for? He's like, no. So he couldn't go by. But see, now, I don't practice that much. So that's why mine is just simple. Matter of fact, he taught me that. But I can't play as skillfully as he does. Why? Because I don't practice like he does. And people get upset where you are because you've been practicing what you know, and they want what you got and what you have, and they want... Listen, I remember one day when I first started preaching, I was like, Lord, I want to preach. I want to preach like T.D. Jakes, God. And God said, no, you don't. I know y'all don't ever argue with God because y'all so spiritual. But I'm like, God, yeah. He goes, no, because you don't pray like he does. You don't study like he does. What you going to say? It's practice. You have the Bible. You have the knowledge. You have some skill, but you don't practice it. All right? Knowledge becomes skill when you practice. It's not enough to know the scale. All right, here comes another one. The difference between skill and mastery is called time. It's called time. See, one of the problems we have in America today is this thing called credit. Is because people get married and think they can have what mom and daddy had or has, and America says you can't have it because we'll give you credit. And then you get strung out on credit, and then you can't, and then money is the second or third reason why people get divorced all over the U.S. because of money. So it's mastery. You can get there, but you're going to have to use a bridge to get where you want to be, and many times it's going to be time. When there is a gap for handicapped people, they create a ramp or a bridge so that they can cross the gap to get to the place they want to be. Getting on a ship, they use a ramp. Getting on an airplane, they use a ramp. The only way to mind the gap or to close the gap is called using a bridge. And there is a gap between effective Christianity and nominal Christianity. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean the fact that there's a gap, that there are people who know Jesus, but then there are those who know Jesus. Now, I'm amazed at how many vile people talk about pray for me. Or I got prayers going your way. I'm thinking, I don't want your prayer. Pray for yourself. That's why we get so many physically grown people still operating as a child. They don't become, because T. time by itself doesn't cause you to be an adult. Boy, this is a little tight for 4th of July, right? I'm trying to help somebody, though. I mean, you know, my daughter called me the other day and she said, "Daddy, I'm practicing adulting." I said, "Awesome, what are you doing?" She told me what you're doing. So I said, "Awesome, that's great, babe." Because you, how many understand, you got to practice to be an adult. You don't just grow up and go, "Well, I'm an adult." Now, that's the problem. Everybody goes, "I'm 18, I'm an adult." You're an idiot. You don't know grits is groceries. Come on, somebody. I'm not being ugly. I love our young adults. But somewhere along the line, we've got to train. We've got to bridge the gap between adulthood and just age. Good preaching, Pastor. Let's close the gap. We have too many Christians without the power of the Holy Spirit. And even though they've been saved for years, they're still immature Christians. Unrighteousness creates a gap between God and humanity. Ezekiel 22 and 30 says, "I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one." Let me ask you this, and come on, musicians, so I'll shut up. Can God depend on you to be a gap filler for someone? Can God depend on you to be a gap filler for someone? I'm not asking you to raise your hand right now, but who can say, "God, here I am, send me"? You know, as a pastor, that's one of the things I do. I fill the gap. As a teacher, but every Christian ought to be a gap filler. Every Christian ought to be a gap filler. When was the last time that when you woke up that morning, you asked the Lord, "Show me somebody who needs my encouragement. Show me somebody who I can help fill the gap." Sometimes your gap is an addiction. Sometimes your gap is maybe a low self-esteem. Sometimes your gap is a lack of confidence, a lack of energy, a lack of knowledge, a lack of resources, but we have to close the gap. Some have a wisdom gap, a personnel gap, a courage gap. You know what needs to be done. I deal with that sometimes, that you know what needs to be done, but you just don't want to do it. A courage gap, a faith gap. What's my next one? One more. When you take the leap of faith, there is a momentary unstable and fear of unbalance. How many has ever said, "God, do you know that almost every time I come out here, I experience this? Pastor, you've been pastoring for 30 years now. Doesn't matter. That's how serious I take what I do. That there for a moment, give me my next slide. For a moment. See, on one side is what we are. On the other side is what we want to be. And if you stay on that one side, all you'll do is look at what you want to be. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. I had this one person, he's taken me to lunch a couple of times and would always ask me, "I want to be a better father." And I would give him advice and has never done anything I told him to do. Why? He won't take the leap. He won't take the leap. So he'll always be on that side, knowing what he is, but wondering if he'll ever get to that part. The gap requires faith to make the jump. You know, I remember, and I could go through this room, I can remember when God began to use some of you. And you're just like me. You're like amazed that God would use you. I can't believe that God would use you. Why? There's something that you have. You're a gap filler. I want to challenge you to close the gap with a bridge. Jesus came to be the ultimate bridge between God and humanity. But how can you be a gap for others? How can you be a bridge for others? Now, I want to challenge you to get ready, because your season can change in a moment. In one instant, the rich man lived sumptuously, and Lazarus not so well. But in a moment, his season changed. And in that moment, when his season changed, the roles were reversed. You know, I'm not doing very well of trying to convey what I want to say. What is the stuff that you have that has been robbing you from the life you want? What do you mean? Some of the things that you're holding on to, God says, I can't bring you what I have for you until you let go. Sometimes you got to let go of good in order to get God. I said to the Lord the other day, my wife and I were talking, as a matter of fact. I said, I don't know when I've had such a challenging season in my life. Don't know when I've had such a hard, difficult season in my life. And it's been a long season, in my opinion. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've been there. You're there. Let me just tell you, I can't say this for everybody, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord said to me. At that moment when her and I were talking, God says, this has been the hardest season of your life because you're about to come into the best season of your life. Woo. Man, when I felt the Holy Spirit say that to me, I felt like I need to tell somebody in here. It's the hardest season of your life. But you're about to come into the best season. See, some of us, when we talk about the best season, we want God to restore. God said, I don't need to restore, because that's over. That's done. I'm finna bring you into something new that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man. Just keep minding the gap. Woo. Steve, can you do that song, Surround Me? Come on, just lift your hand where you are. Oh, Holy Spirit. Come on.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.